We continue our learning. We are in Erevin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Bakol Ma'arvin Umishtatvin Chutz Min Hamayim Umin Hamelach. Here we're referring to the Erev Tchumin, not the Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres was supposed to use bread, pas. But regarding the Erev Tchumin, to walk an extra 2,000 amos in different directions, which we'll discuss later in the Masechta, we need food. That food allows us, we put that food at the edge of the 2,000 amos limit, and then that allows, we lose the 2,000 amos in the opposite direction. But that allows us, for the sake of a mitzvah, let's say, to walk an extra 2,000 amos beyond the city's limits. What kind of food? Any type of food is acceptable for that except water and salt. The Gemara says mushrooms are also excluded. Don't ever, when you see the Mishnah give you a general rule and then say except for the following, don't always assume that those are the only exceptions. So we have mushrooms and truffles and water and salt are excluded. Mishtatfin is shitufei mevoos. That's where all the chatzeros gather together. Erev chatzeros is where the houses join together as one unit in order to carry in the chatzer and from the house to the chatzer and vice versa. Shitufei mevoos is where all the chatzeros join together as one unit, and then they're allowed to carry with from the chatzer to the mavui, etc. So the Mishnah is telling us that for Erev chatzeros, true, you may need pas, you need bread. But for Erev tchumin or shitufei mevoos, it's enough. You can have any type of food as long as it's not water and salt and a couple of extra exceptions. V'hakol nikach b'kesef maser. Maser sheni, we've discussed in the past, in Seder Zroim, maser's whole masechta, that we bring the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, maser sheni, after maser rishon is given to the Levi, we take another maser, and that we bring to Yerushalayim. And if we cannot schlep all that to Yerushalayim, so then we redeem it onto coins, and we bring the coins to Yerushalayim. What do we use the coins to buy? We use the coins to buy food. What kind of food do we have to buy with those coins? Could be any type of food except mayim and melach. Hanoder men hamazon. Person who makes a neder that he's not going to eat mazon. So what's included in mazon? All foods, mutter b'mayim uvemelach, except water and salt. So that means that his neder, his vow, does not take effect on water and salt. Water and salt are not included in mazon. And therefore that vow is going to take effect on all types of foods that he's not permitted to eat, but salt and water are allowed. The Gemara says that when we speak about the language of mazon, and I say the following, I say I take a neder, and I am mazon is something that is that nourishes a person. So included in that are the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Now, the Mishnah, that was when a person uses the word mazon in general. Here, the person says, hanoder, it says, we assume, a min hamazon, and as the Bar Tanura says, and I quote, lo da'amar ye'aser alai mazon, not that he says, mazon is going to be prohibited to me, de'enikra mazon ala chameshes haminim design v'sade, because when you use the word mazon, that really only includes the five grains, which fill you, mazon, that fills you up, mizonos, we use that bracha regarding only the five grains, v'sade. They fill you. They nourish you. They are meal food. Ela kagon da amar kol hazan alai konam v'chol mine mile zayne umas bein lefisha chutz ben amayim menalach. He says he didn't really say the word mazon. Mazon would have only included five grains. He says kol hazan alai konam, meaning he takes a neder, a vow upon himself that that anything that is hazan, anything that nourishes. Oh, anything that nourishes, that's not using the word mazon, that's saying kol hazan, anything that nourishes, that includes everything but water and salt. Had you used the word mazon, as the Mishnah says, that actually would only include the five grains. Ma'orvin l'nazir b'yayin uli Yisrael b'truma. Interesting, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to make an Erev Tchumin for a nazir, even though he's not allowed to drink wine. You can make an Erev with wine. You would think you could only use foods that a person is able to use. But here, the Mishnah is teaching us, no, as long as it can be used or drunk by other people, then it's valid in order to make an Erev. And the same thing in Yisrael. Although Yisrael cannot have Truma, Yisrael, you nonetheless, since it can be in by Kohanim, that has the status of food and it can be used for an Erev Truman as well. Sumchus Omer, Bechulin. Sumchus says, no. No, you need something, and the bartender uses the phrase "demidi dechazi leboin." Has to be roy, has to be fit for him. It's not fit for him. It's not effective for an erev. However, the Gemara says this only applies to the yain. The chulin versus the truma. Meaning, a Yisrael cannot have an erev made of truma. But rather it has to be chulin. That's what Sumcha says. Sumcha is not arguing with the halacha regarding a nazir. A nazir, can have his eruv, even according to Sumcha's, with wine. Why? Because he has the ability to be shoel to do hataras nedarim. So since it's even fit for him, if we do hataras nedarim, that's why, even though he's a nazir now, we have the right to make an eruv, with wine for a nazir. Ulako. Says the Mishnah, you could also make an Eruv and put the Eruv in a Beis HaPras for a Kohen. So what's happening here? So a Beis HaPras is an area, is a field that had a grave that was there, used to be there, but they plowed it over. So you probably cleared most of it out, but there may be little bones that are there, and an etzem kisaora, a bone even the size of a saora is metabe b'mag if you touch it. So there's a din derabban on 100... Amos radius that the Kohen is not permitted in that area because we're afraid he may touch move one of the bones that are there. Now, midoraisa, you can assume that everything was plowed out, there are no bones. That's why this is only a din derabbana. Now, when it comes to an Erev has to be in an area that is accessible to a person. We'll learn in the next Mishnah, later in the Perek, we'll learn, let's say the Erev is on a tree. Well, I'm not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. So is that the fact that it's on a tree, 2,000 amos away, and that should that allow me to walk an extra 2,000 amos? But the Erev is never accessible to me. That food is not accessible. Just that could be a problem. So here too, a Kohen is not permitted to walk into a Beis HaPras. So how can the Mishnah say that a Kohen's Eruv is allowed to be in a Beis HaPras? So the explanation for this is the following. A Kohen really can enter the Beis HaPras carefully. If he enters the Beis, and every step of the way, it's probably annoying, but every step of the way, he looks in front of him for bones, he examines the area to make sure, now he'll notice certain bones, if they're large, he'll see them and make sure not to step on them, not to touch them. Smaller bones, if he blows on the dust, on the dirt, he can check to see if there are bones below. So since there's the potential to do that, that's why a Kohen you can make, put his Erev in a Beis HaPras, because it's considered accessible to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu b'beis hakvaros, m'nei sheyacho leilech lachotz v'lacho. Rabbi Yehuda is even more leaned. He says an Erev for a Kohen can even be placed in a cemetery. Now, how's that possible? Kohen can't walk into a cemetery. So the answer is yes. He can go in, lachotz, have a mechitza. He can go in a box, in an ohel, that separates him from the tumah. So if that's, there's a way for him to come in, that would be okay. And it's considered a mechitza. And the explanation for what the machlokus here is, why Rabbi Yehuda allows a cemetery, and the Tanakhama allows a Beis HaPras, but does not allow a cemetery. So the Gemara says that the following is the discussion. I'm quoting from the Bar Tanura. He says, uvahakam iflagi. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Afal gav de Asr lehanos lehishtamesh beveis hakvaros, mutter lehaniach sham eruv. De ein ma'orvin eruv tchumin elu ledavar mitzvah, u mitzvos lav lehanos nitnos. So this is a very important point. The problem here is that when the Gemara explains, at least, according to the Tanakhama, the Veis HaKvarus is, is no good. The reason why it's no good, you say, hold on one second. What's the problem? He can come in with a mechitza. You said the same thing. Beis HaPras, we explained there's a way in to make it accessible. So the Beis HaKaras too, you can make a mechitza and end up eating the Erev too. And you can block yourself and not become tummy. So it's also accessible to a Kohen. So the answer is, Tanakama's problem is that a person is not permitted to leave his Erev on the grave because that is considered getting benefit from the Beis HaKvaros. So that is the Tanakama's problem. And the Tanakhama therefore says, I don't want you to put this, your Kohen, it's not accessible. Why is it not accessible? Because what you're doing is, you're doing an Avera. You're not allowed to use the Beis HaKvaros, to use the grave for food. So what's the issue? So Rabbi Yehuda says, why do I allow that in a cemetery? I'll tell you why. Because it's true you're not allowed to use a Beis HaKvaros to get hana from it by using it to leave your food there. But that's, since I'm only allowed to make an Erev Tchuvin for a Dvar Mitzvah, there's a principle known as Mitzvos Lav Lehonosnin. We don't view a mitzvah as if you're getting hana. So we've, several examples of that. But take the example we speak about, the shofar of a Karban Ola. So one of the reasons, at least, that we can explain why you're allowed to use a Karban Ola, you're not allowed to get hana from. So if I'm using the shofar of that aisle of that ram, that was a Karban, so it should be a problem to use it to blow the shofar. So the answer is mitzvos lav lehenosnin. We don't view doing a mitzvah as if you're getting benefit from that. So since this is an Erev Tchumen, so we don't view leaving the Erev Tchumen in the cemetery as getting benefit from the cemetery, from the grave, because it's being used for a Dvar Mitzvah. You'll say, hold on, the Erev sits there all of Shabbos, and it's Koneh Shvisa, it acquires the resting place during Bein HaShemashos, and by then the mitzvah's done. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a person doesn't care. And I quote from the Baal Tanura, ein adam makpid alei ruvo im avad o nignav achar shekana. Person doesn't care if his Erev is lost or stolen after it has already acquired its resting place. So because of that, this is not considered getting benefit from the grave at all. I don't care if the Erev even stays here. As long as the Erev was there, bein hashmashos, it's sufficient. V'rabbanan Savri, says the Baal Tanura, adam makpid alei ruvo la'asher Achar Shekana, even it after acquires its makom shvisa in that area, a person is makbid v'roch shalei ganev, and he doesn't want it to be stolen. Hilkach kishah erev mishtamer b'veis akvaros kol haShabbos achar Shekana ben hashmashos. When the erev sits, according to the Rabbanan, in the cemetery all of Shabbos, even after it acquired its resting place ben hashmashos v'nigra mitzvos, the mitzvah's over. Nimsa mishtamish b'isurena. So now that the mitzvah time is over, ben hashmashos is over, I don't need the Eruv there for the mitzvah purpose. It's still being guarded by the Beis HaKvaros. No one's coming in. It's being guarded by the cemetery. That's getting hana, and that's the problem. So mitzvos lav lehonosnin is true. But the Rabbana would say this goes beyond mitzvos. This is no longer a mitzvah as it's sitting in the cemetery. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a problem at all, because once the mitzvah is over, I'm not interested in the Beis HaKvaros guarding my Eruv anyway. We continue Paragimel, Mishnah Beis, Ma'orvin Midmai. Mishnah is giving a list. We've had this list several times. I can make an Eruv even if the food is Demai, where it's produce bought from an Amaretz, because it is Roy, it's Roy Fa'aniyim, it's necessary, if necessary. So therefore, that food is considered acceptable for an Eruv Tchumen. Uva Maaseh Rishon Shenit La Trumaso. And if you have a Maaseh Rishon that goes to the Levi, and the Levi took the Trumas Maaseh, even though Truma Gedola wasn't taken from it. Why not? Because the Levi came early, before Meiruach, before it was, the pile was smoothed out, and then when it was still in stalks, so there was no Chiv of Truma Gedola. So as long as the Levi separated from the Maaser Rishon, the Trumas Maaser, so then it's considered halachically valid, and it's considered food that a person is able to eat, and therefore you can make an Erev using that food. And if you had Maaser Maser Sheni or Hekdesh that you redeemed should be okay. And the Gemara explains, we've had this several times in the past, it's where you didn't add on a fifth. Normally when you redeem Maser Sheni or Hekdesh, Maser Sheni to bring the coin to Yerushalayim, or I have Hekdesh and I redeem it, and I redeem it onto coins, so I have to add a fifth, but you didn't add a fifth. The fifth is non-essential to fulfill the mitzvah completely. So therefore, we consider it as if it has been redeemed properly. And therefore, if the Maser Sheni and Hekdesh have been redeemed, even though a fifth wasn't added on, that food that was redeemed that no longer has its Kedusha is therefore acceptable for an Eruv. V'hakonim b'chala uvitruma. And you're allowed to make an Eruv for Kohanim using Chala, which could only be eaten by Kohanim, and Truma, which could only be eaten by Kohanim. Now, We already mentioned Truma. In fact, we had a machlokes. According to one opinion, Truma is acceptable even for a non-Kohen. We only mention a Kohen here because it's the Kohen who normally does eat Truma. But that doesn't mean that, according to everybody, only a Kohen is able to do so. Onward, says the Mishnah, Aval lo betevel, but these are the things you cannot use. You can't use tevel. This is where trumas and maasers will not separate from it. So no one is allowed to eat that. V'lo maaser rishon shelo nitra trumaso. Not where maaser rishon did not have its truma gedola taken from it when it needed to be taken from it. So it's not allowed to eat it. V'lo maaser sheni behektish shelo niftu. If you didn't redeem maaser sheni behektish properly, the Gemara gives the example on a nasimo. It wasn't a mint and coin, so it's not proper redemption. So then that food is still holy and cannot be used for an Erev. Mishnah continues, Hasholeach Eruvo, Biyad Cheresh Shotevakatan, Oh, Biyad Misha'eno Modebe Eruv. So what happens? You send, we'll discuss it later, in the Masechta as well. You want to set up Erev Tchumen. So you have two options. Either you can walk to that area, the edge of the 2,000 Amos limit, and sit there during Ben Hashmashos, then you're allowed, then you go home. And then because you sat there Ben Hashmashos and you acquired a resting place there, you can walk another 2,000 Amos tomorrow. Of course, for the sake of a mitzvah, as we mentioned. If you don't want to sit there all the Ben Hashmashos, you can bring food there, and the food sits there during Ben Hashmashos. And in that way, you are Konesh Visa, so to speak, symbolically as well. Because where a Jew's food is, that's where he is. So you put the food's there, it sits there, Ben Hashmashos, you require a resting place there, and you can walk 2,000 Amos. What if you don't want to go yourself, but you want to send the Eruv with someone? But the someone is someone who is not Chayv in Mitzvos, who doesn't have Das, a Cheresh, a Deaf Mute, a Shota, someone who's mentally unstable and katan, or someone who's under a bar mitzvah. So the halacha is that the Mishnah says that it ain't no eruv. It's not considered an eruv. And who else is on this list? Someone who's not modeba eruv. Those are the kusim who didn't believe in the halachos of eruv. So a kusi or a tzeduki, says the Bar Tanura. So it's not an Erev. You need someone, if you want to appoint a shaliach for someone, so you need someone who is chayev in that particular mitzvah. But vim amar le'acher le'kablo mimenu harei ze Erev. But let's say you told a kosher person who, I want you to accept the Erev from this chayev shot of the katan or the tztuki or the kusi, and then you, the kosher person, will put the Eruv where it belongs, Harei Ze Eruv, then that's acceptable as an Eruv, as long as he sees that person. You don't have to see him place it down, but you have to see that the one who is qualified is getting the Eruv, he obtains the Eruv from the person who is not from the Cheresh HaTevekata, and you have to make sure that at least comes to his hands.